Rachel, you didn't happen to find that thing I was asking for, did you? I guess that's what happens when you don't put things away. But that's okay. So after the storm, we were cleaning up around our house, as everybody in Bay County was doing, and kind of finding neat stuff. I picked up the little hurricane clips. It was interesting finding hurricane clips on your front yard or in your garage. They're supposed to be on the in your attic, on your roof, helping the plywood stay on. So I picked some of those up, put in my pockets as a little souvenir. We were around the pool cleaning up there, and Audrey picked up this gnarly-looking metal ring. And she kept that as her souvenir, why she was attracted to it. I don't know, but she liked it. She picked it up, and she's kept it. It's been floating around our house now for the past month and a half. And it looks pretty ragged, pretty beat up, but that's not because of the storm. It was an old wind chime that had been hanging up in the pool area. And when we moved in 3 years ago, it was something that needed to be taken down. So I'm not sure how many years it's been needing to be taken down for, but at least 3 years. It's like, eh, I'll get to it. It's high. It's whatever. It's not in the way. But eventually I'll get to that. The hurricane helped take it down and clean up the stuff that I probably should have taken care of a while back. Didn't realize there were vines growing up around the fence in the backyard and around the trees. There's just a whole bunch of vines in those trees, but I don't really go near there very often. So that was fun taking up and taking care of stuff once again I probably should have been doing all along. This hurricane gives us opportunities to get a restart, a fresh start, or just take care of those things I probably should have been doing all along, like that old gnarly looking chime. Should have taken that down. So there are blessings in the midst of the storm. There's things to be thankful for, and today we're going to look at adoration and thanksgiving today and reasons why. Most of the stuff you all know, you all have heard it many times, but we're good forgetters, and in the midst of tough stuff, it's easy to grow weary, to not be thankful, and perhaps lose a little bit of sight of God, or he starts to grow a little bit fuzzier. We don't have that 2020 vision anymore. It's 2025, 2030, perhaps 2040. We know he's there. We don't love him any less. We just kind of perhaps forget. We drift off a little bit. Let me pray for our time. Lord, we thank you that you're a God worthy of all adoration in this world. You're a God worthy of all praise. Even if by human standards, there's nothing to be thankful for. But you've given us spiritual eyes to see truth, and we know that you're involved in everything, and you are here, and you are present. May your word speak through us. May your word speak to us today. Open up our hearts to hear your truths. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So before we get to the verses about Thanksgiving, which many of you all know, we're going to look at, well, why? Why is God a God worthy of being thankful for? And if you've been in the adult Sunday school, you've heard these verses. If you've been around church, you know about this stuff. But we all need that reminder of God's qualities. Who is this wonderful God that we have? So we're going to spend most of our time looking at who God is. And let that more than head knowledge, that heart knowledge overflow into that, wow. This is a God worthy to be thankful for all the stuff, a God who's worthy of our adoration. So we're going to look at five attributes of God here before we get into those verses about Thanksgiving. Oop. So number one, God, he's omnipresent. God is everywhere. He's every when. He's everywhere by his power, his awareness, his knowledge. There's no place you can go where God would be absent. And we know that before we get into this verse here, God is, so while God is everywhere, he is nowhere because God is not spatially located. He is spaceless. When God created the world, he was already in existence. So he exists independent of all the things that he has created. He's able to go in and go out. There's nowhere his spiritual presence does not extend, whether heaven or hell. As we're going to see in these verses, the psalmist writes, "Where shall I go from your spirit?" This here is Psalm 139. Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall not cover me, and there is light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. God, where shall I go from your spirit? We know there's nowhere we can escape. Where shall I flee from your presence? That's not possible. He says, if you're up in heaven or if you're down in Sheol where death is, God, you're all those places. How many of you have been in the hospital when Pastor Hazard has read this to you? Quite a few people. He's read this. He's picked this apart for you. If I take the wings of the morning, so where the sun, it rises in the east. So thinking of Jerusalem, it's rising up in the east. So if I go to the east, where try to go where the sun is, Lord, you're over there. Or if I go over to the sea, go even farthest to the west I can go, well, God, you're still there. Whether it doesn't matter, east or west, there's nowhere I can go where you're not, Lord. Even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. God, you're everywhere. I can't exist, or I can't escape from your presence. God is everywhere. God is everywhen. No place you can go where he is absent. So we have this wonderful all-present God in the midst of Michael when we're cowering in the cry room, in the bathroom, no matter what's going on, God is there with us. That's who God is. But God's also omniscient. He's all-knowing. So God knows all things because he created every aspect of creation. As a earlier on, verses 1 through 4, here says, oh, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Not just some of what I do publicly, but all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Which can often be a scary thought. We don't even have to say that word. The Lord knows what's going on in our hearts. You hem me in behind before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. God knows. He knows everything. Once again, God knows all creation because he created every aspect of creation. We're not just a little wind-up toy that God set, and whatever happens. He is intimately acquainted with all of this. Later on, 139, the psalmist writes that we are knit together in the womb. God fully knows all things at all times because God is outside of both space and time. Nothing is hidden from God. God knows everything, which is comforting. God knows what's going on. God knows the troubles that we're going through right now. God knows everything. And he is still God. Wonderful God is. He is omnipotent. An omnipotent being can do anything that's logically possible for a perfect being to do. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. We see his power. This picture is supposed to be, if you can see it well, this is supposed to be creation. Genesis 1, we see the fantastic outworking of God's power in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is Genesis 1. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God was there. He was present in creation. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. All God had to do was speak, and it happened. And we go... I would encourage us not to just quickly, oh yeah, of course, yeah, God spoke and there was light and there was people and there was blah, blah, blah. God spoke and stuff happened. This isn't a normal thing where we're just, perhaps we speak and people do things, but speak and creation happens. Speak and all of a sudden there appears a banquet of food, or there appears speak and all the destruction is gone from Bay County. We speak and we have roofs done. You can't even speak to a roofer and get your roof done. But God's spoken, all these wonderful things happen. The power of God is amazing. Amazing. He breathed and life came into Adam. God is powerful there in creation. Creation just shows, wow, God, how powerful you are. But also, what about the resurrection of Jesus? Yes, Jesus, he died on the cross for our sins, but to prove that God had conquered death, he rose him from the dead. I said, this doesn't happen. We know the narrative, we're Christians, so it's easy to take this for granted. You know, of course Jesus rose from the dead. Well, how many funerals have you been to where the person rose from the coffin? That doesn't happen. That's not a normal thing. But God rose Jesus from the dead to show his power. He conquered death. That is incredible, incredible power. What might even be more incredible, God is able to humble the proud. He's able to humble my prideful heart. He's able to humble your prideful heart, the prideful hearts of the folks that perhaps you're butting heads with, or you're at risk to butt heads with. God's able to do that. We see this with Nebuchadnezzar, not a great guy, not a great king. Took the Jews out into captivity. Obviously, this is God's judgment on Israel for the rebellion, but he was a pretty awful, awful guy. But God dealt with him. And then right there at the end, he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." He's able to humble the prideful heart. Does it ever seem like sometimes you're just talking to a wall of somebody, you know, just so prideful, so whatever, you just can't even get through to them? Ever feel like that sometimes? God works on the heart. God knows how to penetrate deeply into folks. That's just what he does. With his power, with his ways, he knows what he's doing. I believe for many folks who weren't raised in the church or accepted Jesus at a young age, pride is a big obstacle to accepting Jesus as Savior. Because when you accept Jesus, you're saying that I was wrong. I don't know about you all, but I don't like saying I was wrong all that often. Especially when it's a big thing. So for me, that was my biggest obstacle. Well, I don't want to admit that. My whole thought process was based around incorrect stuff. I prided myself, oh, I'm a pretty smart guy. You know, I'm a meteorologist. We're always right. How can I be wrong about Jesus? Nobody likes to admit that, you know, okay, yeah, I was wrong. I made a mistake here, but this is a pretty big thing. So to admit that your whole thought process in life, man, he humbles hearts every day. What about the Saul, who is a persecutor of Christians, and then Jesus just shows up and blinds him. Who are you, Lord? It's me, Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And then right there on that road, Saul, now Paul, his heart was humbled and he became a follower of Christ and it did incredible things for the Lord's kingdom. God knows how to humble hearts. God knows what he's doing. So we see creation, we see resurrection from the dead, humbling of hearts. God, this is pretty powerful stuff, none of which we're able to do. Sometimes we can get in an argument and throw in a good zinger or whatever there, but it doesn't change hearts. It doesn't change people. We believe what we believe. People believe what they believe. Only the Lord, he's able to charge hearts. Not that we're not supposed to engage in those conversations, but man, how awesome, how powerful is God? Just speaking, creation happens. Well, what else about God? We know he is omnibenevolent. He's a loving God. He is all loving. This the scripture says that God is love, that he is defined as being love. You and I, sometimes we might exude love. We might do a loving thing. But God, his character is love. He can't do anything that's not loving. Just like with his power, there's nothing that's impossible for him to do that can be done. Anything that God does is with his love. Romans 8:28, we most of us know this, for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. God is love. So as he does these circumstances in our lives, he's trying to bring about good. Comfort doesn't necessarily mean good. He's not trying to bring about your comfort. Sometimes we are comfortable and we're blessed with that. Other times he's just trying to conform us into his image. He is wholly good. God can never do evil. He couldn't be otherwise. He is holy, 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 as we'll see in about 10 minutes. He is independent from all the fallen nature. He's independent from creation. He's not dissuaded by your and my fallen nature. So he's all good. And finally, God is eternal. The neat thing, which is just hard to wrap our minds around, God has a complete possession all at once of life. He contains everything from beginning to end for us, but there is no beginning for God. There is no end for God. He always existed. He always will exist. All times are present to him in his power and his knowledge. So he is in his eternality. He's fully here with us right now, just like in a year from now when things start to settle down, just as he was in August, fully there with us. Some of us can look back and say, oh, I can see how perhaps you were preparing us or preparing me for what was coming down the pike with Michael. We had an issue in our stand-up freezer in the garage. We went grocery shopping, put some stuff in the freezer. Apparently didn't close the door, which is bad for a freezer. So it all defrosted. The big stand-up freezer, it stayed cold, but it was all defrosted. This was in August, which was unfortunate. Rachel was quick to act and made 30 to 40 meals with all that frozen meat that we had. And cooked them all and just these meals ready to eat, which is wonderful. And then she froze and put them in the freezer for whenever we would need them. And then Hurricane Michael came. And we had 30 to 40 meals ready to eat, which weren't the little things in the pouch where you need to... Randy, was it you trying to figure that out at Gail's house? I can't remember. Somebody was there trying to... No, that was Val trying to figure out how to do the MRE. That wasn't very user-friendly, was it? No, not very. But this is one, but it was great having the Lord prepared and provided for us. We had these meals. All I had to do was take it off and put it onto the hot grill and just warm it up, walk away for a half hour, hour, or however long. It was a huge blessing. I believe God allowed me to keep the freezer door open so that way we could have this food ready and just have one less thing to worry about. We all have a lot to worry about. But he's timeless. He's eternal. He's getting us ready now for what's going on 10 years, for the rest of our lives, our entire existence when we're with him. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. He's always been there providing it consistently with Israel, with the early church, with us here today. And it's wonderful how all five of these things, they fit together. So we see God, he's omnipresent, so he's everywhere, which is wonderful. God is there with us, which only helps if he knows stuff. So he's there with us, and because he's everywhere, he can know everything. So his presence and his knowledge, they work together. So he can work these things together, like the food for us knows, I know how to take care of you. I know what you're going to need. I'm there with you. Now I'm there with you in the future. God, there's nothing where he doesn't know, which is wonderful. And fortunately, he's omnipotent. So it's pretty useless. All right, I'm everywhere and I know everything, but I can't do anything about it. Which many of us are feeling that way. All right, well, I know a lot. I know there's a lot of damage and I can be a lot of places here and see stuff, but I'm not a roofer. I'm not a drywaller. I don't have the financial resources to fix the county. I don't have the financial resources to fix myself, still waiting on insurance. But God is there. He's there. He has the power and ability to take care of. He's there with you. He knows what's going on. He has the power to do something about it. He has the power, the ability to do it. And what's wonderful, Satan's quite a few places. He knows a lot more than we do. He has a lot more power than you and I do. But fortunately, God is omnibenevolent. He is love. He's not going to be dissuaded this way or that way by, for example, our fallen hearts. Well, this is probably the best thing, or, well, selfishly for Brian, this is what's going to be best. No, God, he knows what's going to be the best thing for each of us. He's powerful enough to do it. He knows everything. He's everywhere with us, and his eternality, this is never ending. He's been working together the entire story of creation. What a wonderful God he is. And that's why he's worthy of our praise. Not based on circumstances. The Apostle Paul writes here, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. That's in all the time. Keep on giving thanks. Well, why? Well, he's there. He knows what's going on. He's powerful. He's enabling this to happen. This is in his hand. This is his love. He cannot not be loving. So always give thanks and for everything. Man, this doesn't seem like a good thing. This does not feel good. This is not pleasant. But Lord, I know your character, and so this is good. So we can give thanks always. We can give thanks for everything in his name. Once again, the Apostle Paul says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So as followers of Christ, we're a new creation. We're this new thing. So as a result of being a new creation in Christ, he says, well, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. We got this wonderful, awesome God. Let his peace rule, to which you are indeed called to one body. And from that, be thankful. Well, be thankful. Thankful that you're a wonderful God. Thank you for what's going on. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, the teaching, the admonishing, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So once again, there's just thankfulness, doing all this with thankfulness. And whatever you do in word or deed, everything in the name of Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, all right Lord, I'm serving it as unto you. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for these abilities. Lord, thank you that we can serve. Thank you that you're opening up doors. As I mentioned before, we're able to talk to people we never talked to before. The Lord's opening up doors, wonderful doors for us. So we want to be thankful for those things. And you know, this is what we were created for. We see that in Revelation. So why always give thanks for everything and for everything? Well, we were created for that. And for these created beings in heaven, they don't tire of doing that. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 starts in the four living creatures, each of them with six wings and full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And continue on, worthy are you. These are the elders, the 24 elders circled around the throne of God. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. And by your will, they existed and were created. So we have these created beings. The holy, holy, holy emphasizes God's separation, independence from creation. He is so above all the fallen stuff that you and I seems to entrap us with. His goodness is there. He can't not be good. He can't not be loving. And so these elders, every time something good happens, worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive the glory, honor, power. They don't tire of this, man. Wow, how awesome are you, God? And it can be easy for us to tire of God, you're good. Thank you. Because we don't feel it in our hearts. It's tough when things are tough. I know many of us are at different stages with this, and many of us still trying to get pieces back together for our homes, and it's still, you know, it's okay not to be okay. You still need rest. I'd encourage you, as Thanksgiving comes up, this is an opportunity, an easy opportunity. You know, I'm taking a few days away. go hunting. Hopefully you'll catch something, John. No, kill something. That's what you do with hunting, right? You don't catch. It's not catch and release. You kill, I don't know. Go hunting. Get away. Once again, you know, find something that refreshes you. Get that rest that you need. This is a marathon. It's hard to believe it's been a month and a half. Some things seem like, wow, things are really progressing. Other things, wow, when's a roofer going to come? And then there's still the laundry list of everything else that has to be done. So take that rest when you can. The Lord's working wonderful things out. He knows how to take care of each of us. Take that rest and praise Him and thank Him for, wow, Lord, thank You for what You've done. Which is why we have these boards here, and encourage you all to write, well, what are you thankful for? What's the Lord doing? What's He praiseworthy? And put it up here. We got some paper clips floating around here. Write down what you're thankful for. We'll put it back on the board and keep this up through Christmas. It's a season of being thankful for Him, for what He's done. So as we close out, we want to give thanks because, well, God is good. Give thanks. Things are not necessarily good, but God is good. He is worthy. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. He's going to endure forever. And so my prayer for us this morning is that we'd be able to take ourselves outside of and independent of the current circumstances and focus our eyes and our hearts on Him, this wonderful God who, yes, You are good. You're a God who's worthy of all these praises. And then next week, we're going to look at the wonderful future we have with Him. Him coming back as the conquering King for us. Before we close out, I'm going to give us an opportunity for you all to share. Is there something on your heart that you'd like to share? It could be, you know, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be necessarily praise or thanksgiving. It could be, you know what, I'm really struggling. I don't know what to do. This is tough. Or the Lord has shown me this. I didn't want to learn that lesson, but look what the Lord has shared with me. So I'll give us an opportunity and for you all to share what's on your heart. We'll go as long as the Lord wants us to go, and then we'll close with a song. Let me pray, and then we'll open up the mic for you all. Lord, we thank You that You are good and You are a God so worthy of our praises. Help us to have this transform from head knowledge into heart knowledge. And may You use this time of sharing to encourage us, to relieve burdens. May this all be praise and worship from our lips to Your heart. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if anyone would like to come forward, or I can come to you if you're not able to come forward. Come on. You need it taller than that, though.
I remember, I think it was Star Trek. Warp speed ahead, Scotty. Does anybody remember that? And that's the way it seems in my life. Things have just flown. I retired last week. And it's been a really, really rough week on me. I caught a 4x4 in my head up here, about 5 staples. And I banged up both legs. I was barely walking yesterday. But God is good. You know, a week before the hurricane, Mom went in the hospital in critical condition, and I didn't think she'd make it out. The hurricane came. She was airlifted out to Pensacola for 3 days. I didn't know where she was, whether she was alive or dead. It was hard. But we found Mom, and looks like she's going to get to come home next week, or the 25th, whenever that is. I don't even know what day it is anymore. But, you know, it's warp speed ahead. And God is good. He's seen us through everything. We now have more family in our home. My daughter, son-in-law, grandson, their 2 dogs. Things are rough around the house. But, you know, we just keep leaning on God, and He's seeing a way to get us through everything. So be careful if you're old and fragile, like apparently I am. Stay away from falling four by fours. And just remember, it's warp speed ahead. Hang on to God. He's holding on to you.
Let me pray for you, Tommy. Lord, I thank you for Tommy and the blessing he's been to this church for so many years, to so many here, and the blessing he is to his family. May you continue to give he and Anita your peace, your patience, your endurance as they move forward. May you use this to further your kingdom into his family. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anybody else like to come up? Okay, we don't have to. Last chance. If not, then I'll ask Anna to come up and sing. Unless you'd like to share something as well. And the rest of the team.